Welcome to Mindfully Integrative Podcast with your host, Dr. Damaris G. Mindfully Integrative is a podcast discussing ways toward mindfully incorporating integrative health into our lives. This podcast will have informative resources, fun topics, interviews, and discussions relatable for today with a true mindful perspective in a mind-body holistic life approach.
Hello. This is Dr. Damaris Maria Grossman, and thank you again for joining in on the Mindfully Integrative Podcast. And I just wanted to let you know of our upcoming events and things. So if you want to know and reach out, our resources and our membership is opening soon. So check out mindfullyintegrative.com for more fun and more info. Thanks so much, and talk with you soon.
Hi, how are you? This is Dr. Damaris Maria Grossman, and this is the Mindfully Integrative Show. Today, we have a wonderful mindful chat with Rebecca Durantine, and she is an integrative cancer advocate, and she's going to kind of tell her story and how she kind of came into her own health journey. So hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Thanks. So thank you so much for coming onto the show and taking the time.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So keep, let the listeners and those watching kind of, what is your fun fact, things that people may not know about you?
So something that people might not know about me is that I'm actually an introvert that has learned how to be extroverted. A lot of people, I'm also an actor, and people are often very surprised when they hear that I'm an introvert, because obviously that requires lots of being in front of people and
oh wow, yeah, yes, definitely
talking. So it actually took me a long time to figure out that I was introverted versus extroverted, and really has more to do with energy than it does with how much you like people. Because I was always like, I love people, I must be extroverted.
Yeah, I'm in between, but I'm mostly extrovert. My husband is definitely introvert.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like 70-30 introvert extrovert. Or like 65-35%. Yeah.
Right. I think people are mixed, but you have a dominant one. Right?
I definitely do. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. For sure. I need like time on my own to chill and recharge.
I would say through the last few years, I've transitioned more inward. I mean, through life in general, but like, I definitely have a different, my husband is more on that sense where he definitely needs to reset. And so is my little ones. They're more introverted. So that's really cool. And you're an actor. That's really interesting. How long have you been doing acting?
Really my whole life. I was really, my favorite games when I was a kid were like imaginary, making up, you know, just imaginary worlds. And then my mom, I think, recognized a connection and put me into community theater and stuff like that when I was little. And then I did take quite a long break from it. I had sort of a crisis of faith after theater school and thought, I can't do this. I need a, you know, quote unquote, real job. And then after I was diagnosed with cancer, I realized, you know, acting might always be there, but I might not always be there. So that's really what motivated me to get me back into acting.
So you found your passion again, but obviously you had cancer. What kind of cancer would you like to kind of talk about that? Yeah. You're an advocate, so you obviously know a lot about what's going on.
For sure. So I, when I was 28, I found a lump. I didn't do proper self-checks. I'd never really been taught how to do proper self-checks. It's something that needs to change. But that's another story. I didn't really do them. I just sort of would have a feel around every couple of months because they, you know, people would say, be familiar with your breast tissue so that you notice if anything changes. I felt a small lump right on like the way outside. I didn't even know if it was in my breast tissue at first, like, cause it was so far to the outside. But I'm the type of person that goes to the doctor for everything because I am an anxious person when it comes to health. So I was at my doctor pretty much right away. It took quite a while to be diagnosed. I have dense breast tissue, and so my mammogram came back negative, even though I could, you know, like see the lump with my own eyes if I pushed my skin down. It took a couple of different tests and thank goodness my family doctor, I think she felt that something was not right. And she just kept sending me for, you know, I had an ultrasound and then I had the mammogram and then we finally did a biopsy. So yeah, that the biopsy is what diagnosed it eventually. But, yeah, so when I was 28, I received that diagnosis. It was triple positive, which means it was being fed by estrogen and progesterone. And then it also had a third receptor called HER2, which allows basically allows cancer cells to grow faster. It has to do with being able to intake protein. It was grade 3, which means it's more aggressive, which is often the case in a young person. And it sort of has to be to get past our stronger immune defenses and things like that. Because when you're young, all of that stuff is working optimally or hopefully is. So yeah, it was fairly aggressive. There's only 3 grades and it was the third one. And then HER2 makes it more aggressive as well. And then hormone positive also has a tendency to, you know, you just have higher recurrence rates for longer. So yeah, it was, I kind of knew right from the beginning, I already had a naturopath that I was seeing because my immune system. And now of course, looking back, I see the signs that led to it, but you know, my immune system was crazy low. My hormones were way out of whack. So I had like just started working with a naturopath just a couple of months before my diagnosis to start addressing some of that stuff. So I was lucky in the sense that I already had a foot in the integrative world. And we sort of were able to just immediately switch gears and start on a cancer protocol. So I knew right from the beginning that I was going to take an integrative approach. My mom's always been interested in natural and alternative health. She had a lot of health issues, digestive issues, when she was in her 30s and 40s, and she still struggles. And she really ended up having to take her health into her own hands to deal with those issues because she got to a point where her doctors were like, "We don't know what's wrong. We can't do anything else. Sorry." So she's always been interested in that. So I already, you know, that's why I was at a naturopath when I felt like something my immune system was off. It was pretty automatic. I knew right away that it was going to be an integrative approach. What I wasn't sure about was how much from the conventional world I was going to include. And that took a lot of, asking
how much chemo, if you were going to go for chemo.
Exactly.
You did get one for chemo.
So I did one round of chemo so that I could qualify for Herceptin, which is a drug that blocks that HER2 receptor that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. I really did want to do that drug because there are very few side effects, there are some major ones, but they're not that common. It's not like chemo where you know you're going to feel awful. You know it's going to really impact your body. I knew I really wanted to do Herceptin. It felt right. But in order to qualify for it in Canada, in order for our healthcare to pay for it, you have to meet the same requirements as all of the studies. And so that means you have to have had chemo. So I did one round so that I could qualify for Herceptin. And it was horrible. I don't know how people do full courses of it. I still lost all my hair. I had to go to the ER the next day because I had a really bad reaction to it. I just did that one. But so I did a lumpectomy right away. And then I had the one round of chemo. And then I started on Herceptin and was on that for a year. I declined radiation. They did offer it, but I declined after a lot. That was a very difficult decision. That one was really, really hard. I wasn't sure what to do on that one. I decided ultimately it was only going to reduce my risk by a very, very small percentage, just like 2%.
Risk first benefits. Yeah, the whole thing, exactly. Risk and benefit.
Absolutely. And I was really lucky. I found it early. It was, even though it was more aggressive, it was only stage one. My doctor literally said, "You won the lottery," like finding this when you did, like, "You're so lucky. It was so far outside your breast tissue that you found it. Like, you were able to feel it when it was that small. Cause if it was in the center of my breast, it would have had to get a lot bigger before I would have found it and felt it." So I just got really lucky there. So it was stage one. So that gave me a little more, comfort. I felt more comfortable saying no to those heavy hitters, because it hadn't spread anywhere else yet.
Right.
And we got really good margins on my surgery. So they literally were like, oh, it's just in case there's anything left. But the longer you're alive after radiation, the higher your chance of other secondary issues happening at that site. So, because I was so young, that was a major factor too. I didn't want to have to deal with, you know, long-term side effects later. So yeah, for me personally, I decided the risks weren't worth the small benefit that it was going to give me. And then of course I had all these natural and alternative things in my back pocket that I was doing that I was very confident was going to give me at least 2% reduction. I felt way more comfortable because of the integrative approach that I was taking. Yeah.
So what was your modalities that you were using for your integrative approach? What were your absolutes that you had to use for your?
So the most important physical ones, because the integrative healing, of course, breaks down into so many different categories, not just physical. Yeah. Yeah. So the physical ones were high dose vitamin C IVs were a major. I was getting two of those a week. And then I was doing mistletoe therapy. So having like mistletoe, the actual plant mistletoe that we, you know, kiss under at Christmas time is slightly toxic. So it stimulates your immune system. So I was having mistletoe injected into my IVC bag. And then I was also doing subcutaneous injections, and I still do those now. I still do all of those now. I just do them on a much reduced schedule. So instead of doing them twice a week, I do them twice a month, each of them twice a month. So those were the main ones that I was doing at my naturopath, but I also did like rounds of artisanate IVs. I did done B12 injections, glutathione injections. I did hyperthermia. There's where they heat like the area. Cancer cells really don't like high heat. It weakens them. And then it also heat draws whatever medications. If you're on chemo, when I was doing Herceptin, it draws all of those natural substances, supplements, draws them to the area. And so they reach where you want them to be in higher concentrations. So I did hyperthermia. All the colonics, coffee enemas. I have an infrared sauna that I use all the time.
You did your research. That with nutrition, you went and did different modalities.
Yeah.
I commend you for that. Cause I do talk to a lot of, I have researched a lot. I have a few clients, that have in the cancer, breast cancer, and you actually have, you did a number of the approved or viable options.
Viable options, totally. Yeah. And I still do coffee enemas twice a week, try to do two saunas a week.
Enemas as a whole, like, you don't have to do those, but
you don't have to do those. Yeah.
But the saunas are a big factor. That's another one that I love. Obviously decreasing the amounts of sugar intake in your body.
Yeah. So I cut out sugar completely for the first 2 years.
For the first year to 2 years, you have to be like, absolutely. I mean, with the research, there's been a lot of research in the breast cancer area. So it's like when I've talked about 3 or 4 women in this area and trying to see what they tried to use or what are they going to use. So that's pretty great. You have used a coffee enema, you've sugar, you're using the IV therapy.
You're doing
a naturopath, acupuncture probably. You probably even did acupuncture.
Acupuncture for sure.
Infrared, sauna. So you're understanding where your body is and not saying, okay, I'm not going to treat it. So that's where the integrative approach comes
in.
And I talk about this on a very regular, is that I 100% believe in traditional medicine, but I want to not believe in the disease. I want to believe in where we and you're finding that out by yourself. Root cause, right?
Because I always tell myself, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing twice and expecting different results. So if I don't change the circumstances that allowed cancer to grow in my body, if I don't alter that environment and get to the root of why this happened to me at such a young age, genetics were negative, didn't smoke, didn't drink a lot. Like,
why were your genetics triggered? Why was the cell?
Yes,
exactly. Why was that conversation and being okay with it's all right, you know, why did that? But now you're changing it. So that makes it amazing.
Yeah.
I love that someone can hear this and discuss and be like, okay, what did am I doing? Or what can I do to prevent this from happening?
From happening again. Yeah, because again, although we have good initial cure rates for breast cancer, recurrence rates are incredibly high.
People are not changing their habit or their behavior.
That's right. So, and then there was also a lot of like emotional healing I needed to do. And
I can imagine.
Yes. Yeah. There was a lot in the years leading up to my diagnosis. When I look back now, there was, you know, a difficult relationship, starting a new career, moving out, living on my own for the first time after said relationship ended. There was a lot going on in that time.
And all of those things are effective, you know, all of the energy flows, the inner, you know, that's another conversation of just that affects your health too.
Absolutely.
You know, that negativity or the, you know, the energetic, those that, you know, the energy flows or, you know, it doesn't, how they say, energy doesn't get destroyed. It just gets,
redistributed.
Redistributed. Yeah. I'm saying the phrase wrong, but and understanding that is, that's really profound. I mean, you're not a medical person. You're an individual just dealing with your life.
Yep.
And I love people like yourself being on because you're seeing something about yourself.
Yeah.
That probably was hard, you know,
it was really
not
hard.
Just physically, but mentally having to deal with all of that.
Yeah. There was a lot, there was, you know, forgiveness I needed to ask for. There was a huge thing that I was just left gaping open. And then there was a lot of, there was forgiveness I needed to give that I had been withholding. And all of those emotions, those negative emotions, they just eat away at you and you don't necessarily notice, but it's just this low level stress all the time. And stress releases stress hormones, which do things like shut down your immune system and shut down your gut and all of these things that are really important for our physical health that are impacted by our mental and emotional health. And I think that's one thing that a lot of, like, I definitely didn't understand that when I was, before I was diagnosed, like we all hear, you know, stress is bad, but I didn't understand exactly what stress was doing to my body. And gut health and your immune system are two major factors in.
Absolutely. You also must, you've obviously researched your body and your health.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And just getting, again, like it's such a cancer. I've also learned is such a unique disease. Even if you have the same diagnosis as somebody else, the same type of cancer, the reasons it developed in your body are going to be different than the reasons it developed in the next person. And so it's really important to like get under your hood, as we say, and do that digging and figure out where exactly things are going wrong.
Right.
For you.
Like you had said, I didn't have a genetic marker, right?
Yeah.
So
I didn't know
BRCA. But you had a stress marker, life stuff. You had maybe diet issues, maybe like no sleeping. I don't know what your underlying hood was, but
stress, you know, sleep, hormones, immune system. Yeah. All of those things, diet, my diet was not good. All of those things. And stress hormones I've learned, I don't process them well. So they were just hanging out in my body. So yeah, there's just been a lot of like things that I've learned about myself since and been like, oh, it's no wonder, you know, that this happened. Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's okay. Yeah. But I think it's super important for someone to hear this conversation, not just if they had cancer or not, but to understand that to question or to look for answers.
Definitely.
You know, and to try to make difference.
Make different ones. And some people sometimes tell me, I'll be talking about, you know, that process of discovering sort of, you know, what I had been doing wrong. And they're like, well, it's not your fault that you got cancer. And no, it's not my fault that I got cancer, but there is a level of responsibility you have to take for your health and what you hadn't been doing or could be doing better or differently. And you just have to accept that responsibility. And I don't feel bad. I didn't know any better. So how could I have possibly?
Right. It's the bliss. Ignorance is bliss, but the bliss made you, you know, and I think what's respectful and amazing from what I'm hearing from what you're saying is that you've become aware of it and it's okay. Mm-hmm. And not having a judgment of it and say, how do I make a change?
Yes. How do I use this information to help myself?
And not giving yourself a negative talk and say, hey, I'm going to make a change. I might have had moments of, you know, accepting this, but let's grow. It's almost a grief like stages in a way, right?
It is.
You know? I've talked to a couple of cancer survivors and cancer, you know, individuals. I feel like they almost go through a grief.
You do. You grieve the person you were before who didn't have to worry about any of this stuff. You grieve that life, you know, where you didn't have to think so much about what you ate and what you did, especially at 28. Like most people my age were just drinking whatever they wanted. Yeah. And so that was really hard at specific. I mean, it's hard anytime, but I feel like when I was that young, it's more difficult because no one else has ever gone through anything major. Most people, none of my friends have gone through any sort of major health issues. So it was isolating. So you grieve that too, right? Some people step back instead of stepping forward. And so you grieve those relationships changing. And yeah, there's a lot that changes, and it can be hard to accept those changes for sure.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to kind of get to that next and overcome that, you know, that next step. How would you like, now that you know, you call yourself an advocate. So where, what does that mean for you? What is that?
Well, I had to do, it was really hard for me to find all of the information. I was lucky in that I was able to find really great people to put on my healthcare team, but I also needed to do, and so they gave me lots of tools and lots of options, but a lot of things I also found myself, just through researching and reading and having
I'm
to
glad you did.
Do that work. Yeah, for sure. And afterwards I felt like that my instinct out of anxiety is to start researching and reading and how can I help myself? And
I can relate to you on that one.
Yeah.
How can I help myself?
How can I help my family? Yeah. Right. And I recognize that not everybody has that impulse when, like, especially when you're dealing with something as mentally and emotionally draining as cancer, a lot of people don't have that leftover energy to do that.
No, they give up.
They give up. Yeah. And I am lucky in that that is my impulse. I do have that energy. I find it easier to understand, you know, scientific language and all of that. So I realized that it was easier for me, but it might not be as easy for the next person. And that shouldn't be, everyone should have access to all of the options possible. Because I've spoken to so many women who, you know, didn't find integrative alternative medicine until their second time around with cancer. And they,
I have definitely spoken to women on their second go, and you're like, oh man,
and it just made me so like a combination of sad but also like angry
I mean the start of this podcast just me because I was just like no people have to have more conversations
That's right,
because I'm in the integrative medicine space and functional medicine space but I'm just not. There's regular people aren't talking about it. I need just regular people, like the normal people that have dealt with
exactly.
This. These are the people I want to talk to.
Mm-hmm, totally. And it was just so, I just felt so sad for other people that could have been helped and didn't, weren't able to because they just didn't know. And, and everyone should, and it might not be for everybody. Someone might hear about, and I always say like, just because I did something does not mean that anyone else needs to do it. If it feels right to you, then go for it. But everyone should have the opportunity to learn that information and to know what all of the options are so that they can make the decision that feels right for them, that is right for them. Because that's how I made all my decisions. I like gathered as much information as I could about whatever it was I was trying to decide about, like whether it was chemo or radiation or whatever. And then asked all the questions, asked for all the opinions possible from all of my doctors, and then just like sat with that information and listened to what came up in my body and how it felt. And some things were like a very clear, very visceral, like no. And then other things were a very obvious yes. And if I hadn't been able to do that, if I hadn't been able to like gather all of the pieces and know all of the options and have a clear path forward, like those decisions would have been next to impossible to make. And that's why I feel like so many people just sort of follow blindly is because they don't know what else to do. And I totally get that feeling of just not knowing what else to do. So I wanted to make it easier for people to know what else to do, to learn
Important. Yeah. And have you had, obviously you probably almost have like a support, like community group with your, with your and clients that you've taken care of?
Yeah. So I have a blog and a Facebook group where I share all sorts of stuff. I mean, I have a really heavy focus on mental and emotional health because that's an area that really gets, I mean, we're so focused on the physical after a diagnosis, and like rightly so, because like we want this thing out of us and we want to fix
physical. We just don't even say that, you know, the mental health and the emotional health turned into physical health.
Exactly.
But we don't talk about it. It's a conversation that people are just like, no.
Yeah.
Like, yep. Nope. This is part of it.
That's right. So yeah, I put a really heavy focus on that. And then also,
so important.
And I talk about, all the different modalities that I've used to heal. I, post recipes and inspirational stuff, and people ask questions and we support each other. And so it's really nice. And it feels sort of like it was my responsibility to, because I'm a good writer. I feel like I express myself well, I like research. So I sort of had all of these skills already, that I felt like lended myself well to this. And so it was sort of like,
this is the path that you were supposed to take, even if the road for you might've been a little rocky,
totally.
This is where you needed to be, and you need to.
Exactly.
Your voice is to help others. I'm glad that you're advocating for other people. That might also help you too.
Absolutely.
What do you have, a takeaway or some one advice that you recommend to individuals, whether they had cancer or not, on a daily, what you recommend them do or something?
Well, I think the first thing is that responsibility piece that I talked about. Just take responsibility for your health and your healing, because although our doctors can support us, if we don't take the lead and take the charge, then we're not going to see the progress that we want to, because they have so many people to help and so many things.
It's very, very true. As a provider of care, and then as a, trying to also express integrative health and the needs, I practice what I preach, but in general, if we don't try to empower the individual to do it, it's not an easy road. I mean, this wasn't a 2 minute, it took you a number of years to get healthy.
I'm approaching my 5-year cancerversary is in 2 weeks, is like so exciting. It's a really big one. Thanks. So yeah, it took me, I was on a very intensive healing protocol for the first 2 years, very intensive. And then we were able to kind of slow things down, back off a bit. But then I have had times where we've noticed in, my circulating tumor cell tests or blood work, things are looking a little off. So then we have to, get more intensive again. And it's this balance, it's this constant. And I think that's something else too, is a lot of people feel like, you're done. Cancer is gone. Like you can go back to normal. But of course, there's no going back to normal. It's like your health is lifelong.
Lifelong.
It's a lifelong process. So yeah, start taking responsibility for it now, because that's only going to serve you even better as you get older and more issues.
I very much so appreciate you saying that, because I have a conversation with someone, feels like on the daily. Think about yourself at 90 years old. Okay. Mm-hmm. What is it like? What do you want to be? What is your 90-year-old self like to look at?
Do
you want to be struggling, mm-hmm. or do you want to have a 90-year-old, or do you want to, and just getting up to 90? And it is a responsibility, but if you don't want to take the responsibility, that's another question that we have to look at.
Yeah, that's a whole other question. So yeah, definitely that. And then also, gratitude is so important. It sounds so cliche, and probably before I was diagnosed, I would have like rolled my eyes, but it's so true. Like my perspective has changed radically, and it's largely due to gratitude and trying to take at least one moment every day to be like mindfully grateful, and consciously think about at least, two or three things from my day that I'm grateful for. And they can be little tiny things.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't have met that person if I hadn't had cancer, and I'm so glad that I did get to meet them. or they can be, or like that tree, like the first moment I remember is like seeing this beautiful tree. And I was just like overcome with this feeling of gratitude that I was like still alive to see this beautiful tree. And like that really, the more gratitude you feel, the easier it is to let go of the anger and the bitterness and the resentment and all of those negative emotions that surrounded, like, why was I diagnosed? Why did this happen to me? And so angry about that, because you do feel angry. And then, but then you start noticing and focusing on all of the really good things that have come into your life as a result of cancer or whatever trauma or illness or whatever it is that you're dealing with. Because if you choose to consciously look for and focus on those things and be grateful for those things, you'll find more of them and more of them and more of them. And you'll start feeling more positive and more grateful more of the time. And that it makes it so much easier to let go of the anger and the resentment, because you have all of these beautiful things in front of you that you wouldn't have had without cancer. And it's so crazy to think that, like, I feel gratitude to cancer, but I do, because my life is completely different and would look entirely different if it wasn't for cancer. And I would not be nearly as good as it is now. So, and that's just something I never, ever thought that I would say. Like, the day I was diagnosed, it felt like the worst thing that had ever happened to me, obviously. But now it's like, I wouldn't take it back if I could, because I just don't know who I would be or where I would be without that having happened. And gratitude is a massive part of that realization and coming, getting to this place for sure.
That's so beautifully said. I thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
I would love for those to kind of reach out to you or find you. I'll have information in the show notes, but please let me know, how can they reach you?
Yeah. So the easiest is to just go to my website. It's Solis, S-O-L-I-S, cancercommunity.com. And the blog is there. I have an interview series with a bunch of different experts on mental and emotional health. I have just sort of like a basics getting going in like integrative cancer care, a little like mini course. You'll find links there to like my Facebook group. You can get to my YouTube channel there. I have a lot of vlogs about mental and emotional health. And then there's also a free interview series that I did on YouTube as well, called Empowered. That's all there. So the website's the easiest place. You can get to everything else from there.
Oh, that's great. I can't wait for people to reach out to you at some point or, you know,
connect. Yeah. Yeah. And if anyone has questions, I'd get, you know, people, it's so nice. Like, people send other people to me all the time. And it's so wonderful to see, you know, more people getting interested in their health and why things have gone on and asking me questions and wanting to know what I did. And it's just really great to see and to be able to do. So yeah, feel free to, if you have questions or anything, feel free to reach out. I always get back to people. So.
Well, I really appreciate your time and thank you for being a cancer advocate and for just being a health advocate, really, because that you're helping my job be easier as a provider to, sure. You know, and getting your voice out, because I want more people to know that there are other options, you know, and not, you know, still being part of the traditional model, but trying
to totally.
Other options in your,
yeah.
In your health, your health journey.
Absolutely. Yeah. I really feel like a combination of conventional medicine and natural alternative medicine that gives you the best outcomes. And my dream is that one day those two worlds just play really nicely together.
Yeah, we're not there. That's my dream myself. I mean, I, as you can tell, I'm a big advocate. So I hope that they, instead of trying to like butt heads, it's a, yes. a conversation of how can we work together?
Exactly. Cause that's just going to make everything easier for everyone.
Well, thank you so much for being Absolutely. On the show, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And thank you guys for listening. And for making sure you find a mindful way each and every day. Thanks and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Mindfully Integrative with Dr. Damaris G. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. If you enjoyed our show, support us by leaving a mindful review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite streaming site. If you would like to be a guest of our show or interview, email us at info@damarismaria.com. If you want to learn more about the resources mentioned in the podcast, you can find those in the show notes. To connect mindfully with Dr. Damaris G, reach her at www.damarismaria.com or connect via social media links. We appreciate your time connecting here with us. May your strength and peace within bring you more balance every day. Namaste.